It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than finding out your new love interest is really the enemy.
Ooh.
Although, aren't most of them usually the enemy when you think about it?
Eventually.
Yeah. You can join the chat room, Denpin. Go to davincomedy.com, click live, broadcasting live, or whatever the hell the verbiage is. And I think you can watch us tonight on Facebook Live. I think so. Because we're not all together, so my bandwidth theoretically should handle it. Theoretically, no echo. It's amazing. It's brand new cable. Can't work. Doesn't work. Audio is better on davincomedy.com, so I do suggest you listen there. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe will be running along and getting himself together, putting his face on, doing his hair. Well, maybe not his hair, but he'll be.
Well, you don't know which hair.
No. We don't even know if Joe ever got his computer fixed. We know he was working on that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we don't even know if his computer will allow him to be on for more than 30 minutes at a time tonight.
Well, we'll find out.
Yep. On the show, we'll do the story of the woman who had to leave Louisiana for her abortion. As luck would have it, it was Pip's week to blog. And this one was still in the bin, and Pip pounced all over it. Did not have a strong opinion. No, very, very meek and mild mannered. That's what that blog was. Hey, did you ever read my blog from last week?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't.
That's a shame. You said you were going to, and you lied. That's a shame.
I didn't lie. It was a sin of omission.
Or a lie. A lie. That's what that was. Governor DeSantis. Oh my, god damn, this guy is always like doing outrageous stuff. He's gonna get that Trump vote. He's really trying to be Trumpy. Joe says, you know, we haven't fought in a long time. This might be a night.
I might get to sit back.
No, you'll weigh in. I mean, you know what though, Joe? We might not fight. We might have a lot of times we come to a reasonable place on this. But anyway,
yeah.
Governor DeSantis decided. Yeah, the goodness of his heart, he said, you know what, you migrants, you've come from South America, Central America. You're in a shelter in Texas and San Antonio where they're taking. You know where Americans like to go. You know where they really like to go in the Northeast? Martha's Vineyard. Now, we can't do it during prime season. Now, we'll do it after season. But we're gonna take some of that sweet, sweet Florida tax money. Although they don't have a state income tax. But anyway, some of that sweet, sweet Florida tax money. We're gonna give you guys a one-way ticket for 50 lucky or unlucky migrants to Martha's Vineyard. That's what we're going to do. And we're not really covering the story, but it is something I wanted to discuss. Gavin Newsom California governor Gavin Newsom spending his reelection money because he has a fund for reelection to run for governor, and he'll win because it's a pretty much blue state, and he's not Schwarzenegger. He's spending his money, his reelection money, billboards, anti-abortion billboards in red states. All that extra money. It's better than a titty bar. It is better than a titty bar when these guys get money. They just make it rain in other states and other things. You know, for their national presidential ambitions. So I definitely want to discuss that. And it's definitely, it was nice that it's not a blue or red thing that we got this going on. On both sides. So we will discuss the spending of the dough, the spending of your dough, if you live in Florida or California, your money,
right?
Our money, yeah.
Public money.
School of Fools. This one got a lot of people were not happy with this story.
Oh yeah.
A teacher in North Carolina tells her class, you know what? I didn't like the way you handled the substitute last week, so nobody pees, nobody poos, nobody leaves the class, and one sixth grader couldn't hold it, and her mom is none too pleased, and our audience, when we put it out there on the social media, we're not happy either. We're not happy with this, so Nazi news and a new school logo for the Nazi-ish, that's another holdover story for last week. I really...
Another feel-good show. A feel-good...
Well, no, I did find a feel-good story. I like this one. Scambusters, how catfish are helping Ukraine beat Russia. To me, that's a feel-good story.
That's a feel-good story.
I like that one. I think that's a very interesting story. And we're going to have to continue with scamming scammers. Michelle and Fake Davin had a knockdown, drag-out brawl last week. But it seemed like because he wanted to send her a care package, and she called it rubbish. And he was not having it. It was very rude, and then things started to take a little bit of turn. It seemed maybe, but we'll see. We'll see where we'll continue with that this week. So lots of things going on. Joe, are you with us yet? Joe's not with us. He used to take
Joe is not with us.
He used to take the phone with him.
I don't know where he goes, but he has gone there.
Well, you know.
Wherever it is.
Joe has that Bezos-like mansion. So he gets lost in his mansion. I understand.
Much like mine.
Yes.
Expansive.
Listen, man, I'm just happy my abode is quiet. We are getting the siding done, and it is just constant pounding on the walls. Because they are putting the vinyl siding over the wood that was there.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's fun.
Money. I'm spending money like I'm a governor running for president. That's how I'm spending money. But it's my money. But maybe I should spend your money. So it is just pounding, and it's... But my wife is very happy. My wife does not like change, which explains why I am still here. My wife does not like change, so she managed to pick a color of vinyl that is pretty much identical to the color of the wood.
Oh, well, that's good. It's a pretty nice color.
It's fine. But she couldn't be happier. And I haven't seen her happy with any of these home improvements. Like, and you know, it's always something. And it's not usually her fault. But it's always something. There's always something going on. But she is downright giddy. It's like, you know, I don't like change. Oh, this looks so good. I'm going to be so happy. We might not even have to get the shutters. Like, okay. All right. So she's happy. Meanwhile, still tracking down the guy who's had my my wife's printer since July, and the fence.
What do you mean?
I remember in my old house. I don't know if it was behind you, but I had the printer / fax machine. I don't know.
Oh,
if it,
yeah.
Well, I gave it to the wife as a printer because nobody's faxing anymore. So I gave it to the wife as a printer, but it wasn't working. So they've had it since July. You know, it's still not working, but you can't get them on the phone. So, and then our fence guy, July, you know, they always, oh, we'll call you back. I feel like it's what I do with my comedy. You know, oh, we'll call you back, call later, blah, blah. You can never get anybody on the phone. I don't understand this, and my wife cannot stand it, but I'm used to it because of comedy, but it is just maddening. I told her, I go, listen, if this fence guy doesn't give us a date, because it was supposed to be mid-August that he was going to fix the fence. If he doesn't give us a date, if we don't get a date this week, we find a new fence guy. I don't care that he bought the supplies. That's his problem.
You know, it's pretty much you're at their mercy time-wise unless you have to. You have to be hard, play hardball and say, we're moving on. And then all of a sudden, now we can do it.
You know,
it's really a shame. My brother used to say this a lot. it's really a shame that you have to go to that level to get people's attention. They can't just do the right thing. You have to, like, go almost threaten to do something about it. And then all of a sudden, oh, now I'm motivated.
It's, well, I mean, Joe talks about, I mean, there's a certain, I guess, certain type of person that goes into this line of work, you know, a certain mindset, mentality. You know, fortunately, our contractor is not of that mindset. I mean, we haven't called him in a while. We got to do our master bathroom, but we're doing other stuff. We're doing other stuff. So, but yeah, all that. I'm so tired. All that. So what's going on with you?
Well, I attempted to quit my job yesterday.
You attempted to quit your job.
Yeah.
One more thing you're not good at following through with. Put that on the list.
Well, I went into my boss and I told him that I was going to quit. And well, I have to back it up a little bit. After three weeks after I was supposed to have my annual review, I finally had it, and it was squeezed into the last bit of Friday, and it was with my manager and a manager from another department, but not the general manager as I was expecting. It was a reiteration pretty much of a lot of the complaints that my manager had with different things over the last couple of weeks, and a little bit of, you know, Pip does this right and does that right, but it was mostly complaints. I was like, wow. Okay. I mean, some legitimate, some I thought, yes, but there's an explanation.
Now, are these reviews tied into financial compensation, whereas if you get a good review?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then it behooves them. I'm looking at this like how arbitration in baseball. So it behooves them, to a degree, to talk you down, even if they want you to talk you down, so they can justify not giving you the money that you feel you deserve.
That's partially what I think, yeah. But, you know, I've been thinking a lot about, like, this is not supposed to be this, like, high-pressure job, but it's really, like, there's never any end in sight. It's just pressure, and, you know, like, attack, pressure. And my manager is very negative. You only get, and I know that's true of a lot of managers, you only get negative comments from him.
Not a good management style.
No. I've been calling it death by a thousand paper cuts.
I'd rather just lop your head off once and let the dogs eat you and get you done with. I don't need death by a thousand paper. I don't need you to linger like a piece of cod that is in the back of the fridge for 2.5 weeks. No, out with the rubbish.
Ew, a piece of cod lingering. Yeah, it.
Now, would you prefer tilapia, dear? Would that have been your white fish of choice for that metaphor?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I know that people say you're not supposed to have that. Actually, Chilean sea bass, but I don't want to think about it ruined in the back of the fridge.
All right, actually, it wasn't a metaphor; it was a simile. I apologize, and I'm surprised you did not jump all over me on that. That is usually right in your wheelhouse of things to nitpick.
Yes, it usually is, but I wasn't actually thinking about it that carefully.
So this guy is just great, just wearing you down. You know, it's always the negative. Never a good job. Never a kind word. It's hard to go into that work environment day after day. It's hard to be motivated to give your all when you feel you are never appreciated. And when you actually do screw up, it doesn't really register because the comments are always the same. So how do I know if I really screwed up or if it's just you being the way you always are, an ass?
Yeah, Kind of, you know. I mean, he's universally it's known around the place that he's not a great manager. He does always take the negative side. Every once in a while there's a like yay team attaboy moment where we get that from the general manager in an email or something if, you know, we're doing well as a group and stuff. But you don't get a lot of that from the manager. And some of the things that he decides to like dive into, it's like, yeah, I know, I'm a human. I made a mistake on that. You don't have to like teach me how to do it all over again. I know, but it's a fast-paced environment. Mistakes will be made.
Now, are these the same type of errors that you keep on repeating, or something you usually get right and you screwed it up?
You know, it's I don't like to be the kind of person that throws other employees under the bus. So
that's my job.
I take it on if it's all me.
Okay.
But I've been sucking it up. The major complaints I got, but they were actually because I got bad information from other employees.
You're blaming your intel. You're saying the other employees told you that there was weapons of mass destruction, but there indeed were no weapons of mass destruction, and now we're coming for you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I got bad intel.
Well, you know what? Even with bad intel, you can still get reelected, dear. It does not mean that you are going down, so that's fine.
No. So that is just like really it wears on you. And I felt kind of insulted that it took them 3 weeks to like they put off my review 1 week. Okay, my manager planned it for the week he was going to be on vacation. Not smart, but all right, he made a boo-boo, but that's fine. Then the next week we were busy, but it's like you could have carved out time for me. The next week,
it's real easy to do. Pip, you know what? We're really slammed. Can you stay an extra 15 minutes on such and such day so we can get? I know you've been waiting on it. Is there a day you can do? Yeah, you do. Hey, listen, you don't want to stay after, but you know they're making the effort to do it at least, and that you're valued enough where they understand they have to get to you.
Yeah. The third week, I didn't know the GM was on vacation because we don't always see him. But at the end of the week, I went into my manager and I said, next week, can we get to my annual review? And he goes, oh, yes, it's on my calendar. It's not on my fucking calendar, boyo. When were you going to tell me?
They shouldn't be holding you back. If the review is on a date, that's the date. Reviews... I've given reviews. I've had reviews. Nobody likes the damn things, you know, whether you're doing the reviewing or you're getting reviewed. But you
right.
need to set a date, and you need to get in there, and you need to wrap it up. You can't with a review. You can't keep holding people up on it, you know.
And you get bad,
they're indifferent. You need to set. I mean, it's a day program. The week before Thanksgiving, we have our reviews. You know, and it's always been that. Always was. You know.
Right.
That's the way it is. You know. So,
no, you're right, and thank you for backing me up on that particular thing, both of you, because I'm thinking, am I just being a bitch that I'm like, could you finally get to me? But, you know, it also felt like I was just being ignored, and when I had to make the point, he goes, oh, it's on my calendar.
Wasn't
when were you going to tell me?
Wasn't that from that movie, was that Office Space?
Yeah.
Like, he kept on, like, waiting for his review, and they kept on putting him, like, and putting it off, and eventually he wound up, like, in the closet, like, the supply closet.
Yeah.
Joe, have you ever seen Office Space?
No.
Me?
No, Joe, I know you have. Joe, you have to see it. Movies, probably 10, 15, maybe 20 years old at this point, still holds up. As somebody who works in an office, I think you would enjoy it a lot. Tremendous movie, Office Space.
Yes, absolutely.
Speaking of managers, Don, who has been, you know, always helped me out getting up to the show and stuff like that. I feel bad for Don. Don has a blood clot in the back of his brain.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
He's trying to use blood thinners. They can't operate. They're trying to use blood thinners on it and stuff like that. He's been having these series of mini strokes, you know.
So jeez.
I feel bad for the guy. And Don is a very good manager, a damn good manager, you know. And as somebody that used to be a manager, I've always, you know, always had respect for him. So I feel awful for the guy. And he's one of those guys that's very good cheerleading everybody, you know, making sure that everybody does everything, you know. I've always been generous with me, so I'm praying for the guy. But I've had a couple of good, you know, good managers. This guy, Joe, when I was in the furniture business, great manager. You know, Don, great manager. And I've had some bad managers, you know. Sometimes in the furniture business, I have guys that don't know what they're doing. So, yeah, it depends, you know, on where you are and who's management and where the upper tier of executive staff feel that if they like him or not, you know. So yeah.
There's
a dynamic with that, you know. I mean, if you have a manager that that is not that good, but he's a friend of executive management or whatever, which was the case in one place I worked, you know, or you know, family or something like that, you know, it depends.
All right, so Pip goes in there on Friday and goes, "Hey, not for nothing. I'm waiting for you to tell me how much I suck. Can we do that already?
Really?
I can't handle it just on Tuesdays. I need it a couple times in a week."
I do. I can't just have, you know, there's the Tuesday dose, but I was really looking forward to the really mega annual thrashing.
Sure.
You know? And,
sure.
And, you know, so I'm like, I mean, not for nothing, but it would be nice to get a raise and be acknowledged for the good things that I do.
Especially with inflation and the fact that people can't find workers at this point, it's kind of crazy that you're even in this position where you're dependent on a raise, because you can probably, at this point, as opposed to when you last entered the job market, you probably can, you know, are a little bit more of a position of strength, where if you walk out of there and peace out, you could probably get a better deal, maybe better hours, maybe something closer to home, certainly more money. So if you're not valued, it's time to go.
Right. You'd think, right? So I waited for my review, and then it was so strange, you know. There's a department in our place that a lot of the people there are, English is their second language, and the manager that he brought in, I mean, my manager, that it's a second language, but he's very fluent, but the other manager that he brought in as a substitute for the general manager is not really fluent. And I thought, why are you here as, like, I guess they have this style that, you know, they have to have two managers in the room, so, you know.
Again,
consciousness.
Again, office space. Remember that? They couldn't just do it by themselves. You had to sit.
Right.
It's like they want to outnumber you.
Well, they do, and they want a witness, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like, so you brought in, I'll just call him Carlos. You brought in Carlos, who, you know, does not have a complete command of English, and we're doing this in English. So I'm like, why is he here?
Now, I got to tell you, at this point, the shrewd Pip Helix would have called me on the phone and go, "Listen, this is going down today. We're uneven. I'm tagging you in." Yeah, I would have been a good advocate.
Yes. So, you know, so I hear his litany of complaints over again, and I'm like, we've already discussed this. Why are we doing it again?
We know I suck!
And it's like you're going over the same suckiness. Can we talk about some good stuff, or can you come up with some new suck to talk about?
Again, why didn't they, if their material's dated, why didn't they call me? I could have come up with some new stuff. Either way, I'm sitting on the sidelines. I'm not working as much as I'd like to be working. I feel like I should have gotten a phone call from either side.
I know. Well, you know, it's like, you know what? Why don't you call my friends David and Joe to punch this complaints up?
I don't know. I don't know if Joe, I don't know if Joe would do that, but I certainly would.
So they're complaining about you?
Well, I mean, there's, I don't want to go into details because it's too hard to, like, explain. But I was saying before, I don't like to, if I can avoid bringing another employee into a conversation about something that I did wrong, I will. And I thought that they understood that the two of the things that they had a big complaint about were due to another employee giving me bad information. And so I made a blunder, but it was like, well, it's kind of on him.
Well, you know where this falls off? Hold on. You know, this falls into the no good deed goes unpunished. Because, you know, you watch professional sports and the quarterback, a good quarterback will take it all onto himself instead of, you know, oh, they're dropping the ball, they're running the wrong routes, even though they're dropping the ball and they're running the wrong routes. But eventually the quarterback gets run out of town for that crap. And then you get slammed if you go, oh, they're dropping the ball and they're running the wrong routes. So you never know how it's going to go if you go, listen, it's not my fault. Such and such gave me bad information. Or are you a bad teammate? Or are you saving your ass? Are you being honest? There's no way to know. And you don't know if you're being tested or not, because you almost want to give them credit that they know what's going on, but they don't, because people aren't that bright.
Well, I mean, I think that he had an idea of what happened, but I don't want to be the one going, you know what, it's really his fault. I don't like that. It's only if it was like somebody stealing and I have to go, look, they stole, not me. But if it's like, you know, look, we're humans, and, you know, it's like, okay, they told me the wrong thing, or they made the wrong judgment call, and I followed through, and so that's how it developed. I don't want to bring him into it. I'll take the heat, but it's just I keep hearing about it and hearing about it. Like, there was one mistake. I heard about it from 5 different people. I'm like, Jesus, and it was because my coworker told me the wrong thing, and I'm like, oh, so I had to eat that over and over again. And it was brought up at the review again, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sick of hearing about this. But and it got resolved, but it's like over and over and over. But
you know what you should have done at that moment? And you have a nice voice. You should have broken out into Frozen's Let It Go.
That's next.
Well, sometimes with coworkers, there's usually good. I have one that assists me. Davin, you were in the car when we were on the road when I was speaking with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I always bring it up to my coworkers when we're on the road. I mean, look, she's very stubborn with stuff, but I get off the phone with her, and Davin looks at me and goes, why can't she just do what you want?
Yeah, I like this coworker, and I mean, I know his heart's in the right place, and he made a judgment call, and it was definitely the wrong call. And I maybe should have argued it more with him, but it was his call. Anyway.
Now, are they bitching this coworker out about this, or are you the only one?
No. They realize that he made some mistakes, and so he has heard about this. One thing in particular.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the key thing is, do they know that his information was a catalyst on you? And you were
Yeah, they do. So I didn't have to bring it up, but I wasn't going to say I didn't do anything wrong. It was all him. It was all Joe's fault. But I don't want to say that. They seem to have figured it out, but I'm still getting it. Like, well, you shouldn't have let him do that.
But wait a minute.
Okay.
But wait a minute. Hold on. Why is it your responsibility when you have all these managers? Maybe sure somebody should have managed better.
You know what? No, it's you know, like, our business moves very quickly, and there aren't always people around to ask for advice. Like, should this happen or shouldn't this happen? Because then it involves the customers, and we look like, oh, we're second guessing ourselves in front of the customer.
Wait, but why can't somebody, when the customers go, you know what, I'm not exactly sure, let me get a manager, one's not here, we will get back. Why can't you do that? It's better that.
Yeah, well, we do when they're available.
No, but
they're
even if the manager's not available, listen, give me your phone number, I'm going to get back to you within 24 hours. Well, you know,
no,
what? Then you
no.
then, Because here's the problem, Joe. Once again, we have a bad work structure. You know, it's much easier to yell and blame people for not doing shit properly instead of giving them a structure how they can handle these things when they come up, so you don't have to go back and forth and give people the wrong information. Because if I'm the customer and I was given the wrong information, I'm pissed. But such and such said no. Well, they were mistaken. They shouldn't be mistaken. I'd much...
That happens a lot. Also, with if where you work backs you up. I'll give you an example. At the old day program I worked on, there was an item that had to go next day air, and the salesman did not get back to me, and I had to make the judgment call to have this item shipped because the customer needed it the next day. So I made the call to ship. I wound up shipping from California, and the UPS fees were a lot. This person at my last day program, which was the boss's son, he wrote me up over it, and he was like, let's switch over to the new day program that I've been at for years. It was the same situation for the boss's son, and he didn't get back to me, and I made the judgment call to ship. In this situation, he came to me and said, I didn't get back to you, and that had to go. My dad sees the bill. I go upstairs. I speak with my dad. It's not your fault. It was on me. That's, you know, it depends place to place. And the management style of that person. In the old day program, he didn't want to take the blame. He didn't get back to me. The item had to go, and he had me written up to get the heat off of him. In the new day program, he did the same thing, but he knew he screwed up. And he goes, when the old man gets the bill, I go in, I sit with him, it's on me. So it depends where you work.
I think, Joe, I think that last story is the exception. I think for the most part, middle management are losers who keep getting kicked upstairs because they brown nose. Now you're talking about like people that are related to the boss, which is a whole separate sort of awful. But at least in the second case, it seems like the boss's son is a stand-up guy.
The problem with middle management is that a lot of times you have to get everything done. You have to deal with everybody, motivate them. You know, keep on top, and you're also getting shit. From top management, from the boss. When I took a managerial position, my mom was in office management, and she told me, she goes, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. You're going to, it's nothing but a federal case. I don't even know why you're doing it. And I wound up being a manager in three different places. Now I'm here, I'm going to call it a career where I am. I'm not a manager. I don't want to be a manager. And it's the best thing in the world because I don't want to be in that place. I don't make the, I take care of things, but I don't have to be in that position. I don't have to deal with anybody. I don't have to, report upstairs.
Yeah, my wife, but for years, for years they've been trying to promote my wife, like, to management, and she doesn't want anything to do.
Smart woman.
See, not me, man. Not me. I would be like, you know what? I'm going to start at middle management, and you're screwing up above, and you're screwing up below. I'm going to fix this shit, and eventually I'm going to be above. Because if they let me do what needs to be done, I'll fix the shit. Now, if it's like you're describing from a below and above, and especially with this job environment, peace out, bitches. I don't need this.
The key thing what you said is let me do what I have to do, and I'll get this fixed. Sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes, especially with upper management, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do it, So that's always been the problem. If you need something that had to be done, it's just, like I said, with the judgment call, one of the reasons I got let go of my old day program is we had, one of these flush units that go on the side of a toilet, and we were back, we were out of stock. We had back-ordered, and I ordered to fill the back-orders and a two-week safety stock, and they got the bill, and they let me go. And it was all sold goods, pretty much sold goods with a two-week lead. That was the thanks you get. So much so where in my day program now, my boss critiques me because you're not ordering enough. You don't work for them anymore. I hired you from them. You get stuck in management style. Some situations you were in, you get gun shy, and it's also the motivating of people. And and the thing about, like I said, with your last day program, that hiring and firing, it's not like you're Mr. Slate and the Flintstones. If you let somebody go, or you're not training them to potential, you're the one who has to go upstairs and explain what's going on, which is also the bitch about being middle management.
Right, but you've just laid out the scenario. You've just laid out the scenario where you're going twice. You've had the person going upstairs is talking to daddy, which is another problem with these companies. That's why I can't work for other people.
It depends on the day program. The last day program, it was a very big issue with that. This day program, a little bit, but not so much, because the younger executives at my company really are very good at moving the company forward and good what they're doing. So at where I am now, it's not such an issue than the last place I was at.
It always comes from the top. It always comes from the person in charge. The person in charge sets the right example. What's important, what's not important, it will trickle down. If the person on top of it is a slacker, likes to cut corners, can play favorites, can be easily duped or manipulated, it works its way all the way down. It's true.
Oh, it does. And like I said, thank God where I am now, that's not the case. Where I was,
All right, so let's get back.
Yeah.
So Pip is now being double teamed, and not the way she's accustomed.
That's right, and some of the instructions are in Spanish, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to move that way. Anyway,
Ceci nuevo, nueve, Ceci nuevo.
So I left there feeling like a little bit beaten up. And a little insulted that it was, like, jammed into the last bit of Friday, and it was, like, my manager meeting with me, but with this, like, other department manager that has nothing to do with, like, he doesn't oversee me in any way, shape, or form. So I was like, what's this crap? So over the weekend, then I started thinking about, like, all the stuff that, like, personal things that I have to do, projects that have just, like, been by the wayside, how exhausted I am when I get home from work, and just how, you know, the management style has been wearing me down, you know, just, like, everything's wrong, you're always wrong, and how he's really been riding my ass. And I thought, you know what, I don't need this. We could survive for a while. I mean, it would be tough, but we could survive for a while if I left this and got some of my shit in order and then went out and found something else. And I talked to Mr. Helix, and he was all on board with it. I mean, he was very supportive about it. He's like, we'll figure it out, you know.
Good job.
And so all day Monday, I'm trying to meet with this guy to give him my 2 weeks. And he's in meeting after meeting after meeting, and every time I look, he's got his door closed. He's in another meeting. I'm like, son of a bitch, I can't even quit.
Well, hold on, let me stop you right here. Is your manager a comedy booker? Because whenever I call, they're always in a meeting too. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I think he was dodging
sometimes
me all day.
Sometimes you get the feeling, yeah.
No. Legitimately, there are some days, especially on Mondays, the upper management likes to have meeting after meeting, and it's like, oh, for God's sake. So it took me like until like 2 o'clock in the afternoon to finally get a moment with him. And I go in and I'm like, look, I got some personal stuff going on, and I had a long talk with my husband, and we're thinking that, you know, I should step away from working right now, and you know, so I can do what I got to do, and I'm basically giving you my 2 weeks. Well, the guy shit himself right in front of me.
Oh.
He was like...
That's nice. That's fun.
That was not in my intention in telling him, but he was like, oh, no.
So, like, wait, now this
no.
is... Wait, who is this, the GM, or is this your boss?
This is my boss.
This is your boss. This is the one who berated you and brought in Pepe Le Pew to tag team you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was not expecting his reaction at all. And he was like, oh, no, that That would be devastating for our
Hold on. Let's analyze this. What happened is you caught them in their tactic. What they did was the tactic that we discussed at the top of this story, you know, where I compared it to baseball and arbitration. They were going to beat you down into submission to not give you what you were worth. And now you call their bluff, go, you know what? I'm so invaluable to you. You know what? You're not happy with me. I'm going to go someplace else. Like, son of a bitch, nobody's ever done this before.
Nobody ever calls our bluff.
And shame on them for not knowing the job market. Shame on them for not remembering how hard it was a year ago to get to train somebody else to do the same position that you were already in. Shame on them for getting a little too cocky. You know what? They could have beaten you down and built you up a little bit at the same time and given you a little bump up in a raise. Not what you wanted, but they could have done that. They would have been justified. Listen, we'll revisit it next year. Here's the problems. We really like what you're doing here, but here are the issues. And they could have kept you hanging on for another year for a modest bump up that wouldn't keep up with inflation, but you would have been all right. But you, good for you. You called them on their bullshit. Good for you.
Yeah, so he was, I was surprised, and he was just like, no, you do this right, you do that right, you're really good at that.
Well, hold on.
We do to help you.
Hold on. Stop. When he was praising you, did he need to call in Pepe to witness the praise? I mean, he didn't need an audience to praise you. Only to beat you. This is the problem with corporate MFers. You know, they like to, and this is again why I can't work for other people. It's such a ploy, and they're so blind, and they are unaware of the job market. You know what? If nobody had jobs, and we had like 10-15% unemployment, you know what? Beat Pip down. She's going to go into her corner. She needs the job. When you got 3.5% unemployment and everybody's looking and, you know, you realize how hard it is to get somebody to do the job that you're doing, maybe don't be a dick. Maybe be self-aware just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, like, now, they have, the GM is all about these scores that we get report cards.
Oh,
and you know, we not individually, but as a company, we get report cards. We get people our customers evaluate us, and we as a company we get report cards in different departments.
The customers. Ugh.
Yes.
It's like the comedy comment card. One of the worst.
Yes.
People are stupid. You can't trust people. Again, somebody should have called me. Bring me in. Pay me handsomely for about a month. I'll observe all these motherfuckers from everybody from just below the boss down. I'll tell you who's good and who's not good. I know nothing about your line of work, but I can tell you who does a good job and who doesn't. So now you got the son of a gun on his heels because he didn't think that you were going to vominos.
Right, he was just like, But one of the things that this just drove me insane, and this is one of the things that I just went, I can't, because they are always telling us that, you know, these scores that we get, that whatever we can control, whatever we can work on, we have to get the scores up in that category. There's, in my position, I'm customer service. In my position, there's...
Hold on. Stop. You just muted yourself. You just shut...
I did?
Yes, you did. Now you're back. What you did on... We could not hear what you said when you tapped your headphones. Good job, stupid.
Oh.
I am giving you a bad review.
Sorry. So, I'm in customer service.
Okay.
And a lot of what we do is already done by the time it gets into my corner. So... There's so much of this review of this report card that has nothing to do with me. I can't influence.
So, like, if they get bad service at another aspect of the company, which is where the majority of the stuff that people are reviewing, because I know what you
yes.
do, They're going to have a negative experience like you. Now, I'm not going to tell you what Pip does. So it's kind of like when you guys are at a restaurant and the kitchen's all backed up because you got a chef who's maybe burning shit, or somebody who doesn't know how to expedite, and you're waiting an hour and a half to get out of there, and you decide the service has been lousy, and you take it out on the waiter who's the face of what's going on, and they don't have a maitre d' to walk around and see how they're doing, so you just blame it on the person you're dealing with. That's what you're the low person on the totem pole. Shit rolls downhill. They're frustrated with what they're dealing with, so they're going to take it out on you.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, managing expectations of the customer and also just trying to treat them right so that they feel good about the place. These are things that I can manage. I can only control my own behavior and trying to just make them feel good about the place. So one of the things that I'm actually really good at, I'm really good at being friendly and being nice to people. And so I try that all the time to make the customers feel at home, to make them feel welcome, to make them have a good feeling about the place. One of my fucking reviews is I'm too friendly and I talk to the customers too much.
Now hold on. I understand what you're going for, but I've seen you in action. I could see that. Yeah. I've seen you talk to Uber drivers enough. Listen, it's charming and engaging to a degree, but at some point, let's move it along, sister. I get it.
No, I have to say no, because there's a certain time period. Like,
Joe, write this down in her review. Also does not take responsibility when critiqued. Write that down, please, when we give Pip her review.
Well, I gotta disagree. Sometimes you'll come under, you may come under that thing where you're too friendly to the customers and you're taking the thing. And it is a fast-paced environment. Mine is too. It's a fucking nut house.
Yeah.
But there are customers that call specifically to speak to you because you you're personable and you know they got your back. I have one, and I'll chit chat with them. But the bottom line is they're giving you business. If they're repeat customers, they're giving you business. And that, if you are portraying to a customer that you have their order, you've got their back, and you'll take care of it, it's building confidence. I mean, I have the factory fucked up. The girl that I deal with at the factory didn't override three big orders. The invoices are an absolute clusterfuck. And I was ahead of the curve on it. I caught everything. And now they're calling in, and I was speaking to one woman today, and I go, I know what they did. I got it. I'll take care of you. I just need to know the thing. And I'm giving – because it wasn't a surprise. I knew that these assholes didn't catch it. So I'm giving the thing that I got it. I will look at it. I'll get it figured out. I'm the guy that gets it. I will get it figured out. I'm the go-to guy to get it figured out. And as somebody that dealt with vendors, if there were people that if it was a next-day air order, it had to go today or I'm fucked. And there was this person I would give it to. He's got the – I can move on because it's done. And I want – when I'm dealing with customers, situations, when I got it, it's done. I will take care of it. If I fuck up, I will fix it. I will cut – if the factory fucks up, I will fix it. It takes a lot of extra time. I mean, as it is, I've been getting out of work at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, just trying to keep ahead with the fuck-ups, But the bottom line is that's the gig. That's the job.
All right.
And you have to work the room, because if I complain about something, make a long story short, shit's going to roll backwards. And my bosses know that. So we're just plain status quo. And if I have to work late and fix it, the outcome is worse than,
So Pip,
being late. It is what it is.
Pip has her boss.
I got to live here.
Pip has her boss on the ropes. One of the critiques was, which isn't really a nice critique, you're too friendly, as opposed to being a motherfucker to the customers, which is really stupid. Listen, let me tell you something. In customer service, if we get somebody who we can understand, we're already happy, because most of the time, we can't. So, all right, so it seems like they're kind of grasping at straws when we have to go down, and you're too damn nice. I mean, all right, enough.
I know what the products you sell during the day. Not much different from what I sell during the day. When you call places like that, can I help you? Can I help you? Yeah. And you're not working at the beauty parlor, but you need to be nice and personable with customers. That's half the thing. Especially when you call in, you get a prompt, you get in. You want to know somebody's there, they're friendly, they're going to help you and get going. And in your day, that's pretty good because it's a rarity, to tell you the truth.
All right, so you got your boss on the ropes. He's covering up as you hit him with body blows. Go, I don't need your shit, SA. So
I was kind of like, well, look. So he's like, does it have to do with the review? And I'm like, well, partially, yeah, because I feel like I'm under a tremendous amount of pressure, and it's just all bad.
Yeah.
And so he started, oh, my God, he started flattering me. Hey. That's not what I was looking for.
No. Well, here's how you want to be flattered: with the money. Flatter me with the money. Words don't pay for the cans of tuna fish. Words don't pay for the clumping cat litter. I'm going to need some money. That's what I'm going to need.
Well, it turned out. Oh, this is the part I forgot to tell you. So my review was, well, so we'll meet again in 3 months and see if you've been able to improve.
Ugh, no.
And I was like, oh, so I'm on probation? That's the feeling I got? So he was, when I said, all right, well, then I'm leaving, you know, I'm leaving, and he was like, oh, no, but we were going to give you a raise. And I'm like, "That you didn't say anything about a raise during that meeting.
Because he weren't. You know, you caught him with his drawers down.
Yeah,
because
you know what happened here, Joe. Yeah, now her boss doesn't want to go to his boss and go, yeah, we're going to have to hire somebody else again. That's the problem.
Reflection on him. Now, let's say that Pip does tell them to go to hell. They have to put the feelers out. Now, you're shorthanded now. So being shorthanded, now you have to interview. And usually when you interview, there is oh my God, what you go through when you're interviewing. Okay? And then you have to train again. So, meanwhile, it's not only a federal case to you. You're overloading the people already on staff. And you're, like I said, your boss wants to know what the hell happened, and it's a reflection on you. So that's the last thing you want. If he said that there were things, because you do have, in a review, you do have bullet points. And your boss, no matter how good of an employee you are, your boss expects you to bring up negatives in a review. Not negative, but because they feel if you don't, you're not really keeping your hand on the department.
Okay.
So what he should have done is, there are a couple of things just to work on. Let's work on that, and we'll bring that up in 3 months and see how you're doing. It's going to be this, and you have to write it down. You need to write it down. And have, where I was, and sign off on it, you know?
Now, Pip.
Oh, yeah, I had to sign off on it.
Now, Pip.
Yeah.
Now that Pip, you need to
work on it, and they need to take a look and go, all right. And then to bring up the point of no money, they're not. It doesn't seem like they do have a good management style there.
Now, Pip. Now that the word raise has come up, at this moment, is there a number in your head that you're thinking, well, I want to get X amount and I will stay? Or are you still thinking, you know what, I don't need this? Or, hey, any type of raise and I'll stay. What are you thinking?
No, it wasn't even about money. I mean, I want more money, but it wasn't even about money. It was like, I really need to do something different with my time right now, and I will find another job later when I'm ready to go back in. And but it was I'm gonna have to go find healthcare, and it's gonna be expensive, and you know, I got a lot of issues. I gotta have my healthcare. And and I was like, okay, so we're going to be spending out money on healthcare and not getting my income.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Give me a raise. You know what? I'll hang in for a little while longer and see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, you want
to
say.
You have to, because it's easier to find a job with a job than a job without a job. Because if I'm interviewing, and why did you leave your last job? You know, well, they didn't treat me right, and I felt I could be doing better. Kind of like a red flag on that person. And then looking back at the other. So it's kind of a tricky thing. Look, I've been in jobs that I hated. I despised. You know, I took it away to get out of there. But, you know, it still is, even as unhappy as you are, you're going to have to start looking why you have this job. You can't afford to leave this job.
So did they give you a raise?
They did not get. He did not give me a dollar amount. I figure that he's got to go back to our general manager and have a little chat.
But he
spent the day kissing my ass.
It's
not good enough, but it was much better than the constant.
I feel like you missed an opportunity there. You got him talking about money. I would say, how much money? What percentage? Because I got to tell you, I'm not really happy right now. You know, you already brought up that you got stuff going on. I wouldn't have brought that up. But you already brought, I got stuff going on, and I have not been loving my treatment here lately. So how much money are you willing to throw at me? Well, he's going to go, I have to go back to the boss. Go, listen, well, here's what we'll do. Let's meet again on Friday, the end of the week. If not, on Friday, my 2 weeks notice. If you can't go back with a number, you force their hand, and you wanted to leave anyway. So if he can't give you a number by Friday, you peace out. But now you push him. Go, I'm giving you the opportunity. They're talking back and forth. They think you're serious about leaving. Let's see what they come up with. You know, and I'll tell you what, it better not be disrespectful. It better not be 2 or 3%, which is what a lot of places like to do every year. With the, you know, they give you the annual bump or 2 or 3%. This place can't afford to do that. We know, you know their history, how hard it is for them to find people. And now now they've expressed, we really like you. So, I mean, I'm hoping you get at least 4%. Now, I'd like you to get more, but 4% and a revisiting in 6 months, 4% and a revisiting in 6 months, that I would think that could persuade you to stick it out for another 6 months and see how it goes.
I was going to give it a month and see how it goes.
I'd like to see you get some extra money. That's what I'd like to see. Because, you know, people say it's not about money. It's always about money. Unless you have FU money, it's always about money. Because
what I would suggest is this. I would, whatever benchmarks that they set, okay, for you, I would go, because basically they have to, if they're going to give you a raise, they have to see that there's going to be some progression. And I'm speaking from a managerial position.
Yeah,
they need to see if there's some progression being done.
Yes,
what I would do is work on those benchmarks and get that progression going. Meet them in a month and going, hey, look, we took a look at the critiques. I have met or exceeded the benchmarks. I would like to stay, but you know, I proved to you that I can grow. I can, you know, grow with the company, but I'm just, you know, it's rough.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that in this situation. In a lot of situations, I would agree with you, Joe. But in this situation, they've shown their cards. They have revealed their hand that they do not want Miss Helix walking out the door, which is why I would stay. And it's hard to do, especially we're not used to this type of job market. You know, for the longest time, you know, they'll replace you, but you can't in this job market, especially somebody who could speak English that the customers like. She's actually valuable. She's actually, now I agree with the benchmarks, but that's why I would say you could say 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, but by Friday, the end of this week, there has to be some monetary compensation coming to Pip, say January 1st, you know, beginning next quarter, whatever the hell it is.
I understand that, but in my opinion, it's like, I will try to improve, but I want more money. Now, in a business stance, it's like, well, it's an uncertain thing. You know, we'll see. If you go, excuse me, I have improved to this point. I would like to stay and grow with the company, but I would need this. The presentation is a lot better because you are telling them, I am offering you something, and I rose to the task. However,
yeah.
I need more money, or I take my talents elsewhere.
That's the old way of thinking about things. This is a unique market. And like I said, this company is very familiar. Just a year ago, how hard it was to get to. They had somebody will peace out in the middle of their first day. So this company is in a unique position of being unable to attract talent. You have to look at what. So I understand what you're saying. In a lot of situations, I'd agree with you, Joe. But this company is in no position. permission to do that with Miss Helix. Now she could say, "Listen, I've heard the criticism, and I'm going to work towards those things, and I can and we can work together and certainly revisit." But she needs to get some type of compensation. She's feeling disrespected. She's a talent, a commodity in this job market. She is, you know. You don't in this situation, and she needs to be compensated for how long you've been there? 2 years?
1 year.
1 year. And you have not gotten a raise in that time, right?
I got a raise after the first month from what they said that they were going to give me, but then they were like, I asked for one thing. They gave me a little bit lower, and they said, we'll see, you know, in a month. And then they were like, oh, here. And they doubled what I the raise I wanted.
Okay.
So I went, oh, okay. So, I mean, we're not talking tremendous amounts of money. And so I'm like, okay, in a year I figured I would get a raise. But then when they started saying, oh, you know, these are all the reasons that we're unhappy with you, so we'll see about it in 3 months. I was like, you know what? There's no way I could ever live up to this standard and their customer service number that you have to reach or else you're not good enough. It's just like, this is crazy. And so much of it I have no control over. So you're penalizing me for what the rest of the company's doing? Like, no. And I was really feeling very disgruntled and really, like, you know, treated badly. So, the fact that he showed his hand, like you said, and was like, oh, God, no, don't leave. Oh, my God, no. So, actually, we left it that he said I was going to get a raise next month.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm willing to see what do they give me next month.
Now, next month is 2 weeks away. Are they talking about October?
No, I, you know, I didn't know if it was 4 weeks or if it's October.
Well, when did they tell you this? Did they tell you this yesterday? Did they tell you last week? And set the
It was yesterday when I came in to give notice, so
What was yesterday? Yesterday was the 19th. Benchmark that to November, going into October, October 19th to 20th, where you will bring up the opportunity. In that time, you're going to do, in my opinion, you're going to do two things. You're going to work on whatever critiques he had and build on those benchmarks. Number two, you're also going to hunt for another job. So basically, you're not sitting there spinning your wheels. You have the plan in action. They said you're going to give a raise. You're holding them to the 19th or, you know, the 20th to investigate. You're building up your value in that time, and you're also going out looking for something else. When that comes up, it's not for a lack of trying. You know, either they're going to, you know, either you found another job, you built those benchmarks to negotiate, and if they don't, then you make your decision whether to stay or fly. That you might have to, you know, fly a little longer, because like I said, it's easier, you know, it's easier to find a job while you have another job than you don't. Because if somebody that did hiring and firing, that is a red flag to me. You know, why you left?
I know what you're saying. But post COVID, that doesn't necessarily hold true, because people will leave jobs and go pick up a job later.
The banks don't want to hear that either, you know, so it's,
you know, that's true.
You gotta keep, as I always say, the name of the game, the bank wants their money on the 15th, and you got to do everything you can to get it.
Right, but it's different. If the problem is if she leaves, she doesn't have money coming in. So what you're saying is, you know.
And also the health benefits. A lot of stake on that. So it's just the potential candidate aspect of that. It's just the tip of the iceberg. The real deal is that going into, you know, paying the bills, and we're starting to go into a recession. We're slowly going. I've noticed it that this week that things have been getting a little bit slow, at least in my part of the woods. You know, I've got so much shit, fires I got to put out. I'm still catching up, but I noticed a little bit slow. So you need to feel they're going to be raising interest rates. So we're probably going to slide into a recession. So now you're going into recession. That 3% unemployment rate, which the average normal is 4%, in good times you're in 4%. So everything is flat at 3%. So you got to watch that, because we might start to get it to 5%, 6%. And now you're still looking, and you have that. You got to look ahead a little bit, because I think the next year is going to be rough.
Yeah, but that's why I said she's got to strike while the iron is hot. I go, listen, I'm unhappy. What are you offering me to stay? Now that I've shown, yeah. That's why I'm saying she got straight. She doesn't want to leave. I know she's talking about she wants to leave, but she forgets about how stressful that is. That brings on a whole new type of stress, especially when you're not collecting unemployment and health issues come on. And Mr. Helix, you know, he's a cancer survivor. She doesn't want to leave, and she hasn't shown them that. She's shown them with, I will leave, I'm unhappy, and they show and go, shit, we don't want you to leave. That's why I'm saying, then what are you offering me to stay? Because right now, I don't feel appreciated. But you're telling me I am appreciated. Show me the money. And we will revisit this in a month. And hopefully, you will be shown the money. But I feel like an opportunity was missed.
And not the door.
No, they're not going to fire you. Listen, you could roll in. You could roll into you know, a Hilton tomorrow and work the front desk. I mean, these are the hotel industry, all these restaurants. You could be a hostess tomorrow. You know, and all these, now you can't stand for a long time, so maybe not a hostess. The point is, the point is to do the type of job you're doing right now. You could probably find one pretty easy with comparable pay, maybe even better benefits. It's a unique time right now. So that's what I'm saying. You got to strike while the iron's hot. I hope it's not an opportunity missed, because Joe might be right. We might be sliding into a little bit of a recession. I want to see you get that money before that happens. Because you know what? Even though you might be getting paid more, they know that one of your biggest downfalls is people like you. Yeah, that's a real fucking problem. That's a real problem in a job where customer service is the game. You know, people like it. We're not too fond of it. I mean, come on.
I was just like, what now?
I know. All right. Let's remind me. I when you were talking, I wanted to. I actually had a use stink for Best Buy, but I didn't remember it until you started talking. So remind me next week to do a use stink for Best Buy, because oy vey, customer service and shenanigans and oy vey. All sorts of issues with that.
Oh, my God.
But we're not going to do that this week, because we're going to keep the show moving right along. When we come back, well, I guess Pip's going to talk some more, because it was her blog. We will tell you guys about the woman who had to travel from Louisiana to New York to get an abortion because there was no way the fetus was going to live. And we'll start it off with something light like abortion, then we'll talk about kids pissing themselves, and then we'll do some catfishing, and then you'll talk about Governor DeSantis. Governor DeSantis. The thing about Governor DeSantis is all these things, but it's not like all these things that'll make him a top fool. Just in my mind, just makes him a top dick, but not a top fool. Maybe very shrewd. Maybe very smart, this Governor DeSantis. He might be. But we will talk about that, and listen, I'm just throwing this out there before we take the break. If you want to go to Martha's Vineyard, I say start in Guatemala, wind up in Texas, and then you too can vacation at Martha's Vineyard. I'm throwing it out there. It's a lovely place. All right. On the break, we got new music from Tom Scobie with I Steal Me. That's the second song. And the first song is Chafe Foreign. They threw a number in the middle of the name of the band. CH4YN. It's not a license plate, kids. Don't make me interpret it. It's bad enough when I'm sitting.
It's an algebra equation.
It is. We're the parentheses. I need to distribute this the name of this band. I want to do it properly, but it's CH4YN. So I guess it's Chafe Foreign, maybe? And the song is insane.